How much did it take for you to restrain yourselves from clapping during that piece? You're so well behaved. Thank you, choir, this morning. That was beautiful. All right, let's hear our second scripture reading this morning. We're turning back to the prophets. We've heard from the prophet Jeremiah for this last month, and now we continue to hear Jeremiah's words from the book of Lamentations. Here from Lamentations chapter 3, verses 19 through 26. The thought of my affliction and my homelessness is wormwood and gall. My soul continually thinks of it and is bowed down within me. But this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul, and therefore I will hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul that seeks him. It is good that one should wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. What a beautiful day it is that we celebrate today, World Communion Sunday, gathering at the table of God's people with churches and gatherings of Christians all around the world. And as you've heard, this past week we kicked off our stewardship drive. And so today my sermon is going to be directly focused on that, on our collective call to Christian stewardship, responding to God's abundant gifts with the financial support of God's work in our church. Now, you might find it bizarre that I decided to preach on a passage from Lamentations in the call to lead us into Christian stewardship. Wait for it. This passage is rich with calls for us as God's people to respond, even from places of lament or fear or sorrow. This passage is full of possibility born out of reality, out of affliction, out of loneliness and heartache, a passage for hope for the people who need it most, who must rely on God and God alone. So let's pray that we might hear this word opened up to us today. Would you pray with me? God, open this text up for us this morning that we might hear a call to respond to your goodness and provision. May all that we have be given back to you in fullness and gratitude, for we are yours and yours alone. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Are you lonely? Are you tired? Do you feel isolated? Like you're not sure where you belong? Have you walked the halls of your home and felt out of place? Or has your home been taken away from you, where you're no longer able to live where you would choose? Today's scripture is for you, for us in that place. The book of Lamentations is written as a cry for the people of God in Babylonian exile. The temple, their place of worship, and the central icon of their civic life has been destroyed, sacked by the empire to the north. Bloodshed and heartache have replaced songs of praise and religious feasts. To these people, the prophet Jeremiah speaks. We have heard from Jeremiah this past month in his prophetic words that ring out about destruction. And yet his closing passage from last week told the story of buying land in Israel that would one day be returned to, and new life would be restored there. It was a story of hope amidst all the chaos and loneliness. So again, we hear in Lamentations, the thought of my afflictions and my homelessness is wormwood and gall. Like they taste horrible in my mouth, and they're like a growth of fungus, and they make me want to throw up. It goes on. My soul continually thinks of it and is bowed down within me. We hear pain and uncertainty in this text. Do you not know this yourself? Can we be honest with ourselves and say, yes, we do? And yet, we find there is something deeper at work here. Something that calls out amidst all of the chaos and brokenness. Something that beckons us. When we engage with the question of stewardship, our call to stewardship, you might immediately taste wormwood and gall in your mouth. It may feel like a hollow topic that has run you through the ringer before. You may feel uninspired and lack hope for the good work we are called to here as the church. The preacher just wants to inspire you to give more of your hard-earned money again. You're supposed to laugh at that. But today I pray that you would be beckoned by verses 21 through 24, which say this: "But this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him." So yes, there is loneliness, heartache, and the loss of home. But also, yes, we find that the Lord provides portion for us, a refuge, a home here, and a hope of the future that is greater than all homes, all possessions, all privileges, and all honors in this world. A home that is fellowship in the family of God, which is what we are here in this church. Today, I want to claim for us that we steward and return our financial resources to God's work at St. James Presbyterian Church for three key reasons. We give to restore, we give for legacy, and we give in hope. So I want to turn to giving to restore. Over the past decade at St. James Presbyterian Church, this congregation has faced a great deal of change and transition. For those of you who have been here for 10 years or so, you've had 5 different pastors, a changing climate of church attendance, the loss of many members at the end of life, or a transition in church culture. With such tumult, the practical reality is that financial giving for the needs of the congregation has changed as well. Living out of the economic recession of 2008, the last decade has seen a large shift in giving for many nonprofit organizations. I'm going to get really detailed here for just a moment. Most significant in our recent history as a congregation was that there was a steep decline in giving going into the year 2017. The congregation was in the midst of a pastoral transition once more, near what would be the end of the search and the nomination that would lead to me being called to serve here. But nonetheless, this was a time that giving to the budgetary needs of St. James declined significantly. Pledged giving from 2016 to 2017 declined by about 11%, or roughly $20,000 a year. That's kind of a lot. While we have made modest gains to restore the pledged amounts to our congregation's budget in these past couple of years, along with growing in our unpledged giving that we receive every week in the offering plate, the church's budget has felt a strain of this significant drop. Even as we experience the restoration of a bustling children's program, of new missions endeavors, and a renewal of our collective life together. With the word of restoration, we must always be careful to clarify what we mean, especially as the people of God's reign and coming kingdom. Restoration is not about a return to the way things were, some idyllic past, making church great again. But rather, restoration, as Christians understand it, is about reclaiming our very most essential nature of goodness and flourishing that God has made us for. Humanity is made to bring beauty and goodness and flourishing to the stewarding of all creation. This is a mandate from God's people, to God's people, from the Garden of Eden to the city of God, all through Scripture. And it means living as our truest selves, being who God has designed us to be, bearing the image of God in its fullest form. Think about that like contributing your part to the great feast of God. With what you have, bring the best of it, as Scripture calls it, the first fruits, to the table. Your best recipe, your most exquisite wine, your decadent dessert, to share and to enhance, to spoil in riches the work of God's family, because we, the church, are meant to bring that kind of beauty and goodness to the world. We are a people of beauty and bounty. And the passage from Lamentations tells us that the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. We do not need to worry if God's love will run out, like Tracy's children's moment this morning. We trust that in our response to the riches of God, we're invited to entrust our whole selves to God, mind, body, spirit, soul, finances, work, family, resources, all things. The concept of making life 10% better or 10% happier has been written about a lot in popular science or sociology of late. It's argued that making incremental changes, making something 10% better each year, or a small change each day, adds up to immense shifts and growth over time. People shave 10% of their time off their running pace, and their race results get better. They try to increase their performance at work by 10%. And it doesn't happen all at once, but as we contribute a little more energy to a project over the long haul, dramatic growth occurs. Restoration and a new future arrive. So what might it look like for us to consider chipping away at the financial burdens of our congregation by adding in 10% more this year? Have we considered the power of incremental change that this could create among us? What's our part in that? Perhaps for each of us this season, it's a time to reevaluate, in light of the power of incremental change, how we can contribute. The call to restoring is not something that one of us is to do on our own, something that someone else takes care of. No, rather, it is small incremental work that each of us does together, contributing to the whole restoration of things. And we can see the call to pledge for restoration as a call to love, to share with God what God has blessed us with each other as acts of love. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. May our love in mutual reply to one another never cease as well. Now I want to turn to why we give in terms of legacy. People of exile do not always see the fruit of their labors. But the people of God have always trusted that God's promises live beyond their lifetime. And their commitment to themselves and to the generations that follow leave a legacy in response to God's goodness in their wake. If you've been around church very long at all, you also know that we continue to be a church in transition. Our people here are changing and growing, reviving the life of God that God is calling us here to do in this new chapter together. And if you've been on the Christian journey very long, you also know that the path is long and doesn't always yield immediate results. We don't always return from exile right away. It takes long, slow obedience, patience to pursue God's mission of loving our neighbor and making all things new. And so perhaps you won't see the fruits of your labor here at this church, at least not tomorrow. So the question of giving and stewardship and pledging and doing the work becomes, what do we want to leave in the future for God's church here at St. James? There have been many saints in this church's 130-year history who have wrestled with that question. How do we prepare the way for the future? How do we give in ways that we will not see the fruit from? It's an act of faithfulness, an unrealized yet anticipated goodness of God. We're faithful because we remember that God is good in the past and that God will be good in the future. The people of Israel entered exile repeatedly. Many ventured out of Egypt and never came to the promised land. They did not make the whole journey, yet their faith persisted beyond and inspired future generations to go forward. So, is that how we are called to steward this year? To prepare for generations that may follow? Even as a man in my 30s, I recognize that a deep part of my calling toward giving and stewardship is to inspire the ones who will come after me, the ones who I can lift up and encourage and call out in their giftings. To steward is what we call an act of faithfulness, a call that extends far beyond us. And so we pledge to that legacy, for lack of a better word, that extends and expands in God's providing love. And linked with giving for legacy, we give in expectation or hope. We trust that the work is not yet done here. Jesus promised that his disciples and followers would do greater things than he had ever done. And this promise extends to us. Great things are yet to come in our neighborhood, in our city, in our world. And many days these days, it seems quite bleak, does it not? Environmental collapse, political division and war and hatred and violence, could it get any worse? Much less, how is it supposed to get any better? But for us, the people of God, we always trust that we come from good beginnings, made good by God for a good purpose. And it is because this goodness of God exists in us that we faithfully live it out through history, and that we can expect God's goodness to keep persisting. Evil does not have the final word. The goodness of God is our hope for tomorrow. And so we pledge ourselves because we trust there is more in store for us here at St. James Presbyterian Church. More work to do. It's far from done. Our work is reviving its legacy. It's enacting and expecting of much more that God has in store for us. And don't we all want to be a part of that? Let me close with this. The disciples said, increase our faith. Perhaps you feel doubt or struggle, or how it would be even possible for you to commit to this place in a deeper way for the year ahead. And I say, fear not, or you are not alone. The people of God are familiar with doubt. We are a people of joy and bounty, but we also doubt and struggle. And this is quite normal. I'm encouraged by our gospel reading today because the disciples are very straight with Jesus. They say, increase our faith. They need more faith for the journey if they're going to keep going on. Is that where you are? That's okay. We lift our hearts up together, knowing that that is where we may be at today. And we call out to God, saying, Lord, increase our faith. Increase our faith in what you can do through us, with us, by our hands and our gifts. Increase our faith, O Lord. Not ours, but your will be done. Let's pray. Lord, we ask simply that you would increase our faith. that we would trust deeply in how you are our portion, that you provide all that we need, and that you've blessed us in ways that we might be a blessing to others. So, Lord, increase our faith today. Let us bond deeply with your presence here today in our worship, and then be sent out as people who have been increased, who have grown, who have felt the sense of a deepened calling. Lord, bless us. Bless this church in all hope and expectation for what you have in store for us. We pray this in joy. In the name of Christ, amen.